this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the November 2010 issue of Boys Life magazine. Our first article is from The Hitching Rack, Letters to Pedro, page 2. Pedro answers reader mail. Dear Pedro, I am really close to achieving the Eagle Scout rank, and I have one question for you. Have you ever had a regular milkshake? They're pretty good, you know. That's from Eric M. in Avella, Pennsylvania. Actually, I wouldn't know, Eric. I need plant fiber in my goodies to keep my bodacious bod in shape. Good luck achieving your Eagle, though. Dear Pedro, have kayak will travel. Had some good tips on leave no trace. On a recent canoeing trip, the currents were very strong and we tipped over a lot. But I had read your tips, so none of our equipment or trash was lost from the canoe. That's from DAF in Springfield, Pennsylvania. We give you information you can use, D, every month. I'm glad to hear you had a successful, if soggy, adventure. Dear Pedro, sleep right, sleep tight in the May issue helped me through my many camping trips, and I slept much sounder. I also got my parents to read the article, and now we're much closer to knowing which gear to get and how to use it. That's from Sri Nadkarni in Edison, New Jersey. There's nothing like a good night's snooze, and 40 winks in the morning and a siesta in the afternoon. Ooh, I think I nodded off. I'm happy your campouts are comfier, Shri. Hey, Pedro. I like the game tips in Boys Life. It is fun to read about the newer games out there. But don't you think some of our readers are mature enough to handle a T-rated game once in a while? That's from Daniel Demi Smith in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Sure, Daniel. But many of our readers aren't teens yet, so the boss says only game for everybody get the coverage. You know how he is. And if you don't, that's a good thing. Dear Pedro, the Pee Wee Harris comics are really funny and sometimes teach lessons on different scouting skills. I hope you keep them. That's from Christopher McIver in Suffern, New York. A lesson with a laugh is the essence of Pee Wee. Christopher? Me? I'm sure of a laugh without a lesson. Dear Pedro, I have received your magazine only twice, and I'm already hooked. My favorite part is the jokes because they make my family and me laugh. Does your family know that you are a male burrow? Brendan Savayan from Eugene, Oregon. Oh, we want to keep you smiling, Brendan. Of course my family knows I'm a male burrow. That's what we burrows do. Haul stuff around and around and around. Ooh, I'm ready for a nap, just talking about it. Dear Pedro, what's a dive? Made scuba diving seem cool. Do you have any tips? Also, does the boss hate any animals besides you? That's from Josh Jordan in Richmond Hill, Georgia. Not being a scuba diver myself, or any kind of diver, in fact, I'm not going to be much help. Just get a good instructor and pay attention. The boss says he doesn't hate animals. He hates goofing off. Besides sleeping and eating, that's what I do best. Dear Pedro, finally, I put all my Boy's Life magazines in order so I can read your cartoon strips in order. They make better sense that way. How do you make your comic so funny? That's from Connor Flack in Smithton, Illinois. I'm just a funny guy, Connor. Putting things in order does help, doesn't it? I think I'll go put in order for some tumbleweed tacos. The boss is bound to start hollering soon about why I'm not hauling the mail back. A burro's work is never done, and I'm starving. Off to the cantina. Next article. Heads up. Beginning of the end. Page 4. Beginning of the end. The final magical chapter starts here. see three young wizards set out alone on a dangerous mission to stop Voldemort. Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. Tricks into theaters November 19th. Next, let's go to Outdoors, From Real Life to Gaming Adventure, page 8. Bear Grylls, star of the hit Discovery Channel TV show Man vs. Wild, will also become a video game star when his new game releases this month. Here's what the adventurer told Boys Life about his game, on screen and off. Boys Life, you were involved in scouting as a kid and appointed chief scout of the UK Scout Association in 2009. How has scouting influenced your life? Mr. Grylls? Scouting was my first real introduction to adventure. It gave me the confidence I needed at an early age to continue to pursue my dreams, which I am lucky enough to be able to live out every day. Boys Life, what has been your most challenging adventure? Mr. Grylls, I would have to say it was the 3 months I spent climbing Mount Everest. I was not only tested physically during that time, but mentally as well. Thinking about my family helped me get through some of those tough times, and in the end, it was all worth it. Boys Life, you have some camping outdoor experience, to say the least. What are your top 10 tips for our readers? Mr. Grylls, number one, be prepared. Number two, tell people where you are going. Number three, pack light. Number four, pitch camp while it's still light. Five, location, location, location. Six, boil water. Seven, store up a tree away from camp. Eight, stick together on hikes. Do not lose sight of your slowest man. Nine, help one another. And ten, always have a backup plan. Boys Life, what do you think scouts will get out of your new video game, Man vs. Wild? Mr. Grylls, the game can be a real empowering experience for scouts. There's a whole survival camp and training zone where you learn to make shelters, build fires and rafts, and learn other necessary survival skills that may one day save a life. I think they will enjoy the different environments, such as jungles, deserts, and mountains. They'll be forced to make decisions and live with the consequences they so choose, which they will enjoy. Boys Life, what is your favorite part of the game? Mr. Grylls, my favorite part is that it is based off my real-life experiences. I sat down with the developers, and we made this as real as possible. They asked me what I would do in certain situations and how I would react, and that's all. And that is all reflective in the game. Next, let's go to Space Aviation. Space Handyman, page 10. The two new types of robot could journey to the moon, space station, and beyond as an essential part of the crew on a manned NASA spacecraft. Resembling 26-pound, six-legged crabs, the Lemur Elite robots will inspect and maintain the Orion crew exploration vehicle, space telescopes, satellites, and other space equipment. They're built to wiggle into hard-to-reach nooks and crannies. The Lemur LLB is a four-legged robot designed for exploration on the Moon, Mars, asteroids, and other planetary surfaces. Descendants of the Lemur robot could be flying on NASA missions within 5 years. Read all about it. Take to the air with Aviation Pioneers. Sky Sailors, True Stories of the Balloon Era by David L. Bristow tells 9 stories of humans exploring the heavens, all without the help of airplanes. Farrar, Strauss, Girard, Books for Young Readers. And be amazed. Wander around Earth's magnificent neighborhood with BBC's Wonders of the Solar System series. And these are all books that are available for all of you to read. News and Notes, a grand tradition. Monopoly is celebrating its 75th anniversary. From the Great Depression to the new millennium, America's favorite board game has let participants accumulate mass amounts of make-believe wealth. In 1934, Charles Darrow of Germantown, Pennsylvania, presented the Monopoly concept to Parker Brothers, a toy and game company. The company rejected the idea, saying the game had 52 eras. Darrow refused to give up. He handmade 5,000 sets and sold them to Philadelphia department stores. The game became a hit, but Darrow couldn't keep up with the demand. He went back to Parker Brothers, which decided to manufacture the game in 1935. Monopoly quickly became the best-selling game in the country. Since then, more than 500 million people have played the more than 200 million games sold. Boy Scouts of America and BSA 100th Anniversary Editions are available at boyslife.org/links/scoutstuff. Ask the Gear Guy, page 12. What do I do if my sleeping bag won't fit in the bottom of my internal frame backpack? Answer, have you tried putting your sleeping bag inside a compression sack? You can get one for $15 to $20. It's basically a water-resistant bag with straps that you can pull to tighten and smush your sleeping bag into a smaller package. Most backpacking bags come with a stuff sack, but a true compression sack will make your sleeping bag as small as possible. If your sleeping bag is still too bulky, either you get a backpacking mummy-style bag or lash your current bag to the outside of your pack. Here's how. Roll the sleeping bag tightly, starting from the head of the bag so that the foot of the bag is on the outside. This way, if it happens to get wet, it'll be at the bottom part of your bag that's damp. Clench it down tight with a pair of webbing straps or a couple of old belts and slip it inside a plastic trash bag. A dry bag would be even better. Secure it to the outside of your pack, near the bottom, with thin rope of webbing straps. While it's not ideal to strap a sleeping bag to the outside of an internal frame pack, it is certainly doable and will save you some money. Stories we like. We found a deal that sounded too good to be true. A top-quality tent of a fraction of its retail cost. So we bought the Zephyr 2 and put it to the test this summer with an epic trek among some of Colorado's 14,000-foot peaks. Guess what? It's true. The tent worked great. And we saved some money. Scouts and Scouters can register at Scout Direct to get screaming deals on tents, backpacks, sleeping bags, and more. Sometimes gear is as much as 70% off retail. Another question. When I go on camping trips, I'm usually the first one up. I don't have a pocket heater, and my dad won't let me have a lighter. So I'm usually stuck bundling up and sitting up by a fire pit freezing. So I'm trying to find a fire starter or a sparker. What do you think I should do? That's from Sparky Campbell in Birmingham, Michigan. Here's the answer from Gear Guy. I think you should definitely get a warm jacket, Sparky, and these grabber hand warmers. But on to your question. If you're not allowed to have a lighter, I'm guessing your dad won't let you have matches either. In that case, something like the Light My Fire Swedish Fire Steel Scout is exactly what you need. This flint and steel set was first designed for the Swedish military, but is used by lots of outdoorsmen and survivalists around the world. It weighs just 1 ounce, works even when wet, and throws a 5,500-degree spark. For less money, check out the Hot Spark Fire Starter. And now, Boys Life Headlines, pages 14 and 15. His name is Cody McCasland. He was born October 2nd, 2001. His hometown, Coleyville, Texas. Bear Scout rank, Bear Cub, Pack 260, Coleyville. He made headlines by winning the 2009 National Iron Kids Triathlon in the 7-year-old division and the 2009 Build-A-Bear Huggable Heroes Award for Community Service for Team Cody, a fundraising organization he formed with his mother's help. It sponsors races and has raised more than $125,000 for Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children. the scoop. Because of a rare birth defect, Cody's legs were amputated when he was 15 months old, so he uses prosthetics, man-made body parts. Cody also is a spokesperson for the Challenged Athletes Foundation. With his fundraising, Cody hopes to help other kids get prosthetics. Here are a ton of people. There are a ton of people out there who do not have prosthetics and need them. I also wanted to give back to the hospital. His other interests? Cub Scouts, sled hockey. The future? Cody wants to compete in swimming in the Paralympics, do the Ironman Kona Triathlon, and be a pediatric anesthesiologist when he grows up. His advice? Just keep working and you'll get that goal or dream that you have. Next one. His name is Kyle Dahl. He was born August 30th, 1993. His hometown, Delano, California. He made headlines by earning a gold medal at the 2010 Extreme Flight Championships, one of the world's most prestigious radio-controlled helicopter competitions. The scoop. Kyle got hooked on RC copters at 7. He practices up to 10 hours each week and logged 2,252 flights in 2009. He entered and won his first competition in 2008. He was among the youngest of 18 pilots invited to the XFC, where he showed off his maneuvering and aerobatic artistry. Copter collecting. Kyle owns 8 helicopters and competes with 3 Makedo Logo 600s, which weighs 8.5 pounds and have 5-foot diameter rotor blades. His advice? The first year I competed, I had a crash on one of my first flights. I still ended up getting first place. Competition teaches you that you've just got to keep going. The future? Kyle is considering engineering with an emphasis on helicopter design or a military career as an unmanned aerial vehicle pilot. Next we have Nick Kassler. He was born June 9, 1994. His hometown, Orlando, Florida. Scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 24, Orlando. He made headlines by placing in the top 10 for all of his events at the 2009 United States Trampoline and Tumbling Association Nationals as a first-time competitor. Nick also scored a spot on the 2010 United States Tumbling Association National Tumbling Team and has been nominated as the USTA Athlete of the Year. The scoop? Although Nick had a background in gymnastics and cheerleading, tumbling requires different muscles and balancing techniques. But Nick snagged a second at the Nationals in advanced double mini, fifth in advanced trampoline, and eighth in the elite double mini. This year, he took gold in tumbling and double mini trampoline at the USA Gymnastics Southeast Regional Championships. Out of the gym. Scouting, working at his gym summer camp, hanging with his family. The future? Nick plans to study to become a surgeon. His advice? Make sure you're setting your goals high and meeting them. Work hard. That's how you're going to get things done. And next we have Reed Connor. He was born September 25th, 1990. His hometown, The Woodlands, Texas. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 428, The Woodlands. He made headlines by winning 2008-2009 Gatorade National Boys Cross Country Runner of the Year and the Nike Cross Nationals Finals in the Cross Country 5-kilometer, 3.1-mile run in a course record time of 15 minutes, 13.6 seconds. The scoop? Reed started running cross country in 8th grade to get in shape for basketball tryouts. The future? Reed is on the University of Wisconsin cross-country team and runs 80 miles a week. He wants to become a pro runner and compete in the 2016 Olympics. And finally, Oscar Yaud, born July 2001, hometown Los Angeles, California. He made headlines when, after learning to make root beer for his 2008 school science fair, Oscar and his family decided to bottle and sell it. Their root beer, which Oscar named Margot's Bark, is now sold in stores and online. The scoop? Margot's Bark honors a dog the family adopted. The company donates profits to animal rescue groups. In the first year of business, they raised more than $15,000. His other interests? rock climbing, surfing, Legos, woodworking, computer games, basketball, football, baseball, and his three dogs, Margot, Bella, and Harry. The future? I'd like to be an inventor, scientist, artist, and woodworker. His advice? Oscar says his business is hard work, but it's rewarding. It took us about a year to find just the right recipe. Our next article, pages 16 through 19, A Real Spaceman. Meet astronaut Mike Massimino, a veteran of two space shuttle missions, and has a picture of Mr. Massimino in his space outfit about to take off into space. The first time Mike Massimino stepped outside the space shuttle for a spacewalk and looked through the vastness down at his home planet, he thought he must be seeing Earth the way it's seen in heaven. Then he changed his mind. It was so unbelievably beautiful, he thought he must be looking at heaven itself. His first trip to space was a dream come true, and his second was even better. I knew what to expect and how to get everything done, so I had more time to just enjoy it, he says. I was 6 years old when people first walked on the moon, and that became a dream of mine. Aiming high. Massimino grew up in Long Island, New York. He studied engineering in college, eventually earning an advanced degree in mechanical engineering from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in 1992. 4 years later, NASA accepted him as an astronaut candidate. I learned to work really hard and not give up, he says. I applied 4 times to become an astronaut before I was selected. Sometimes it takes a lot of years, and you have to keep trying. Even now, with 2 shuttle missions and several spacewalks under his belt, the hard work continues. We're always training, he says. We fly space simulators and practice different aspects of missions. Massimino's space missions in 2002 and 2009 involved updating and repairing the Hubble Space Telescope. With all of the hard work comes learning, and Massimino says that's one of the best parts of his very cool job. No 2 days are ever the same, he says. In a typical work week, I'll put a space suit on and then go down to the pool to learn about new hardware, and then I'll go scuba diving. Astronauts train in the water to simulate the zero-gravity conditions of space. Then I'll get into a suit for a whole day and practice a spacewalk. It's pretty cool. 1 week, my job probably fills up 2 years of other jobs with all the learning. When he's not preparing for a mission of his own, Massimino provides ground support for astronauts who are out in space, communicating with them from NASA's headquarters in Houston and helping coordinate the mission activities to keep everything running smoothly. Because of that, he has to know everything he can about every mission. Being prepared. Practice is essential to being a good astronaut. There's no room for mistakes on a crowded space shuttle. Massimino says scouting, with its foundation of exploration and achievement, was great background to his acceptance into the astronaut corps. If you dream of following him into space, Massimino suggests, find something you really love. Look at the backgrounds of the different astronauts. I've flown with engineers, an oceanographer, a geologist, a veterinarian. It's really varied. Concentrate in a technical area. Any kind of science, engineering, or math is good. And then work really hard and don't give up. And has another picture here of Mr. Massimino inside the space shuttle doing some engineering work. Eating in space is its own adventure. Food that tastes fine on Earth can become a little bland in zero gravity. We get a lot of our taste from our sense of smell, astronaut Mike Massimino explains. The first couple of days in space, you're a little stuffed. The fluid in your body isn't being held down by gravity, and your head gets stuffy, so things don't have much flavor. What's an astronaut to do? We like to take Tabasco or hot sauce with us to spice it up a little bit, but they also bring fresh fruit and veggies along, plus treats such as brownies, cookies, and candy. We like the shrimp cocktail because it comes with a spicy horseradish sauce, he says. We have a really good food. Chinese food, spicy chicken, fajitas, steak, hamburger, lasagna, and the mac and cheese is pretty awesome. Job facts. Job outlook. Astronaut Mike Massimino says there will always be a demand for well-educated workers in the astronaut corps as space exploration grows. But working hard is a must. About 4,000 people apply for about 20 jobs every 2 years. Education and experience. Mission specialists and pilots should have a college degree in engineering, science, or math, and at least 3 years of work experience in those areas. A master's degree or higher is desirable. Pilots need at least 1,000 hours of jet aircraft experience and excellent vision. All astronauts need to be in good or great physical shape. Salary? Astronaut candidates make between $65,140 and $100,701 per year and are paid according to the federal government pay scale. Here has a picture of Massimino. Massimino trained for zero-gravity missions in the waters of the Neutral Buoyancy Laboratory near NASA's Johnson Space Center. To left and clockwise, working on the Hubble telescope in the cargo bay of the Space Shuttle Columbia in 2002, looking over procedures checklist on board Atlantis, carrying out more work on Hubble, this time with Atlantis in 2009. Tweeting from orbit. In June 2009, Mike Massimino became the first astronaut to send Twitter updates from space. While flying aboard STS-125 Atlantis on the final space shuttle mission to the Hubble Space Telescope, his first tweet from space came soon after settling into orbit. And he said, "From orbit, launch was awesome. I am feeling great, working hard, and enjoying the magnificent views. The adventure of a lifetime has begun." You can follow Mr. Massimino on Twitter, a free online messaging system, by searching for Astro_Mike, and don't miss BL's own Twitter feed, Boys Life. And now page 36 and 37, Scout Program Cooking, Do It Yourself. Several troops across the country hold annual Thanksgiving dinner feasts. Some use propane grills instead of the charcoal briquettes preferred by Troop 344. Some troops keep their events small with just the scouts and leaders participating. And a few, like 344, donate the extra food to a local food shelter as a way of giving back to the community. Stephen Fow, a 12-year-old Tenderfoot Scout with Troop 344, helped deliver the extra food to a Pittsburgh shelter after the November 2009 cookout. Meeting homeless individuals face-to-face was eye-opening, and providing food was rewarding, he said. "It's important to show that we care for others," Stephen said. "There are people out there who aren't as fortunate as us. This shows that we care. It makes me feel good to do a service for the community." Lessons of Thanksgiving Past. Troop 344's tips for successful feast? Use wire, not twine or rope, to close the birds and secure them to the spit. Why? Twine and rope burn away, then the stuffing falls out and the bird gets floppy and hard to manage on the spit. Buy and cook wisely. Many shelters will accept only unopened ingredients and uncut pies and birds. In 2009, Troop 344 ended the weekend with about 50 pounds of extra mashed potatoes. That required one heck of a large cat hole to get rid of. Cooking turkey takes time. For a 5 p.m. dinner, have the birds cleaned, stuffed, and over the hot coals by 8 a.m. Apply careful supervision during the bird washing process. First-time cooks can be timid about properly cleaning the inside cavity. Use the event as a get-acquainted opportunity for Weeblow Scouts preparing to cross over in the coming months. Well, we've run out of time for today's reading. I am John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long, till next time.